Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and this study of Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, titled, What Ye Ought to Say. We live in a time of preparation for the Antichrist. The whole leftist political and religious world is censoring everyone and attempting to change our language like something right out of Orwell's 1984. But Christians must find truth in the Word of God. We must speak God's truth and not conform to this fallen, wicked world. And as you listen to our study, you may have questions, comments, or prayer requests, and you can send those to our email address, bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also write to us and send your letter along with any check or money order contributions in support of this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com. And now we begin with a current events update, and then our study in Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, titled, What Ye Ought to Say. This is part one of two.
Headline reviews in the news. The first one is the Sodomite Antichrist agenda. It's, I know some of you are like, you know, that's almost every week. Yes, it is. But this is going on. It's pretty scary on a fleshly, worldly sense. But as a Christian, we should be encouraged by watching God's word fulfilled right before our eyes. The EU Commission has begun legal action against the nation of Hungary and the nation of Poland over LGBT issues. And it's all about perverting children. The European Union doesn't like the fact that Hungary and Poland won't go along with the agenda to pervert children. In the case of Hungary, the legal procedure was related to several issues, including a newly adopted law in Hungary banning the teaching of gender ideology or homosexuality to children. Amen. And so Hungary is trying to do the right thing, and the European Union is trying to penalize them. And regarding Poland, the Commission has objected to the so-called LGBT ideology free zones. In other words, they've declared that there's some areas, including with children, where you don't bring it up, you don't discuss it. That we would call that the 1980s. I mean, they didn't bring this stuff up in my school. They didn't bring it up on TV all the time. Once in a great while, you might see something, but the whole world was LGBT ideology free zone. Just when I was in school, that's how far we've fallen. But as I said, this is a fulfillment. Jesus said in the last days to be like it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built it, just like you see going on around us today. It's business as usual, only it was Sodom. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And as soon as the rapture takes place, that's when the 7 years of tribulation begins. At some point right after that, whenever the beast, the Antichrist, confirms the covenant. If you have a teacher telling you it's a peace treaty, that's false. It's not a peace treaty. It's a covenant. The covenant. It's the Mosaic covenant. Amen. With the Jews so that they can build a temple and sacrifice animals. When they do that, that's when you're concerned with the Antichrist and the mark of the beast. And Jesus says, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. That's Luke 17, 28 through 30. The second headline we want to look at are Marxists are burning Canadian churches. At least 45 Christian churches have been set on fire in Canada as attacks escalate. The crimes stem from far-left terrorists with a Marxist ideology, which is exactly what Black Lives Matter is, Antifa, critical race theory, all that stuff. Basically the Democrat Party agenda, by the way. Yeah. whose sole purpose is to strike fear in Canadians for practicing their faith. And folks, that's what we've seen here in America. We were removed from a local radio station because they were afraid that what you're hearing from this pulpit was going to get them in trouble. That Marxists would burn down their radio station. And there's churches, there's people who won't attend certain churches because they're afraid that if they do, there'll be some kind of backlash. If their family finds out, if their employer finds out, they'll get fired. All that sort of thing's going on right here. It's Marxist terrorism. We call it the Democrat Party, but it's Marxist terrorists. And I don't care who doesn't like it, I am going to speak the truth on this matter. The Democrat Party is a terrorist organization. Murdering babies, promoting Sodom and Gomorrah, trying to shut down free speech in this country by taking over the social media giants of Facebook, Twitter, and Google, all a bunch of Marxists who are using capitalism as their power to shut down freedom and install Marxism in America today. And very few preachers have the spine to preach that today. Shame on them.
Amen.
And shame on the Christians paying their salaries.
Amen.
Eventually, only worship of the beast will be tolerated. Eventually, you will not be tolerated. And those who are left behind after the rapture will be part of the whole thing. They're the churches today that have the words like inclusive and diversity, and they're waving the pride and the Black Lives Matter flags and all that. Those are the churches of Antichrist. They will serve him once the tribulation begins. So number three, leftist liberal censorship and mind control that we just referred to a moment ago. The White House is flagging what they consider to be problematic posts for Facebook. Folks, if Republicans or conservatives by any stripe were to try to shut down the left and all the crap that they put out there, there would be a hue and cry going on. Everybody, including conservatives, would be talking about how terrible it is. That's not what's going on now. What's going on now is you have a Marxist president with a Marxist political party trying to shut down free speech in this country. And they are flagging the posts and then having their servants at Facebook pull the posts down and ban the people who post those things. They are operating just like the Nazi party. They are operating just like the Bolsheviks in communist Russia. They are just like the Maoists in China. These people are communists who only wear a socialist tag for political convenience. They can't get by with being full-fledged communists yet. They're getting there. They can't lock you up yet. But they're trying to get there. Our Supreme Court refused to hear the case with the florist who is being told, you will obey, you will submit to the sodomite agenda and the Marxist agenda, and you will make flowers and deliver them to these abominable, fake sodomite marriage ceremonies. I don't see any sign that she's going to give in, but she's going to lose her business probably. Shame on America.
Amen.
Shame on this country.
Amen.
Shame on this Supreme Court in the United States of America. And
Amen.
Shame on anybody going along with this.
Amen.
I don't care if they're my blood relatives. Shame.
Amen. Right.
A hellish generation here in America today.
Yeah.
And a pathetically mousy, silent Christian generation today. Critics slammed the move, saying it infringes on the First Amendment, pointing out experts have frequently been wrong. Oh, let's see, when were they wrong? Like the theory that COVID started in a Wuhan lab. once banned from some online discussions, but now even the World Health Organization deems it credible. For the last year, if you posted that you believed that the COVID virus leaked from a Wuhan lab, you were banned by these communists at Facebook. You were banned by the communists at Twitter. You were banned by the communists at YouTube and Google. And now, we know it's true. They were banning you for posting truth. And they'll still ban you for posting the truth. You post a truth, a factual matter, that the transgender movement is causing skyrocketing suicide among their own people. Skyrocketing domestic violence and murder among their own people. They'll ban you. You're not allowed to speak truth. The Orwellian nightmare is the Democrat Party agenda today.
Yep. Amen to that.
This is a comment by Katie Pavlich. She's a conservative commentator. She's editor of townhall.com. And she pointed this out and got quite a bit of flack. The redhead press secretary for Biden is Psaki, P-S-A-K-I. I think it's Psaki, or maybe it's Psaki. But Katie Pavlich says, Psaki or whatever, says the White House has been flagging problematic posts on Facebook they believe are misinformation about Wuhan coronavirus. Reminder, Fauci worked with Facebook to ban the lab leak theory, which is factual, for more than a year. Anybody listening to Dr. Fauci is a fool.
Amen.
On a related matter, shark advocates are calling for rebanding violent shark attacks and calling them interactions. This is for real, folks. These people have lost their minds. The Bible says they're reprobates. Shark attacks, that's mean, and you might offend a shark, I suppose. So now you are to call them interactions. Now, Katie Pavlich just happened to make the right comment. Shark advocates sound like Democrats. And more on mind control. The National Fruit Ball League. And that's their thing. They made that up. The football is gay thing is the NFL thing now. They, quote, also plan to donate $250 million, not to the ghettos, not to help the people who are poor in this country and help them have health care. No, they're not going to do that. They're going to donate $250 million to racial social justice causes. So these people like the head of the BLM can have two houses for $500,000 on, you know, and all that kind of thing. That's what socialism is all about. Socialism is about making the leaders of socialism live like kings and everybody else lives poor. And they're going to do that, and also reportedly even looking into creating political video content and educational programs to lecture sports fans about black grievance.
Wow.
Well, what they ought to do is make videos about how the Democrat Party has treated the blacks in America like slaves.
Yep.
And the blacks in this country need to get off the Democrat plantation. They need to use their brain and stop voting for the Democrat because he's for the working man. It's all a lie.
Amen.
And by the way, equal time. Don't think I'm promoting the Republican Party. The chairwoman of the GOP is Mitt Romney's niece. And you got all these rhinos in the Republican Party doing just as much damage. They just don't have control yet of the party completely. So we'll say more about that, but this we got a pressing matter here. Racism concerns are pushing U.S. agencies to rename the invasive Asian carp. These are true stories, by the way. This is not satire. This isn't Babylon Bee. This is the Biden administration and U.S. agencies who want to, out of sensitivity to some of the abuse of the Asian population, we're going to get rid of the name Asian carp because it might hurt some carp's feelings, I guess. Oh, and then this one, one more. You can no longer refer to the gypsy moth or gypsy ant because you might offend gypsies. Folks, this is, it's funny, but it is brain dead idiocy, and these are the people running your country right now. These are the people who vote, yeah. So, just in summary before we take comments, every story mentioned above, or just mentioned in the last few moments, is related to the coming beast system. Amen. When you see this idiocy about gypsy moths and all that, that's to brainwash you. It's like you're no longer allowed to call the homosexual anything except for what he says you can call him. Even though they call themselves that, they name their organizations after those things, but it's about control. You will obey. You will say what we tell you to say. You will use the language we tell you to use. How many fingers do I have up? You say four, you're in trouble.
Four.
Because we say there's five. That's what's coming. All right, we're in Luke 12, verses 11 and 12. We're titling this from the text, What Ye Ought to Say. And this doesn't have anything to do with what we were talking about in the current events update of the mind control or anything like that. But it's related to your mind and your heart. So Luke 12, verses 11 and 12. If you're there, read it with me. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. Amen? So, as current events demonstrate, we must be thoughtful about facing persecution. We ought to be ready to face those times when we have to deal with these matters in both official and unofficial persecution. Verse 11 begins and says, And when they bring you, when they bring you, you have to pay attention to who is Jesus talking to when he says things. When they bring you. So we must first be sure to take Jesus' words as spoken, as always. In a previous study last week, Jesus spoke to whosoever. If you look up in verse 10, it says, And whosoever shall speak a word against, etc. So the address is to a different situation. In verse 10, it was whosoever. In verse 11, it's you. This was in verse 10, it was a general truth spoken to everyone. It was something that everyone needed to take heed of and pay attention to. But in verse 11, it changes the audience to whoever you is. Whoever the you is in verse 11. And so we look again. It says, And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers. So who is the you? The intended audience is present as Jesus is speaking. This is a statement made to those right there with him. And we addressed that in the previous study that some had tried to say that the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost could only be committed by those who were there with him, but that's not what the text says. Jesus didn't say, if any of you here standing in front of me or anyone sees me in the flesh or whatever, he said, whosoever. And we looked at the other scripture with scripture and saw that he even mentioned that it's not just in this world, but in the world to come. And so what was commanded of these first century disciples of Jesus that he's talking to when he says, And when they bring you unto the synagogues, he tells them, Take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. Now, that's a very appealing idea, and that's why a lot of people will actually grab a hold of this verse and ignore the rest of the Bible, and it becomes their excuse for not reading the Bible, their excuse for not attending a church that actually teaches the Bible, their excuse for being ignorant. They'll say, well, that's what the Bible says. Take no thought how or what things you shall answer or what you shall say. And this is then followed by a promise in verse 12, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. See, you don't have to study and, you know, you don't have to learn how to think and listen to questions and find out how to answer those questions and all that. That's a waste of time. I mean, you know, because the Bible says that if you ever get in a situation where you need to know something, it's just going to pop right in there and you're going to say it, right? Well, if Jesus was talking to you, yeah. But Jesus wasn't talking to whosoever. He was talking to you, the audience, sitting right in front of him. See? And it happened. Did you know that? Yep. It actually happened. Now, not on purpose, but I kind of put this to the test in my own life, and I'm sure I could get other testimonies here from the honest folks that would admit it. There have been times where something confronted me, I had given it no thought beforehand, and you know what happened? I had no idea what to say. And if you take that out of context and don't understand it properly, you'd think God failed you. Come on, God, why didn't you fill my head with something brilliant? Because he wasn't talking to you. And that's why we get criticized for it, and I don't care. It's true. All the Bible is written for us, but not all the Bible is written to us. Amen. And just some obvious examples. Don't walk out here today afraid that you might eat a piece of fruit that happened to come from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's not to you. There's truth about it for you, but it's not to you. Unless you're Ken Ham, don't build an ark. Or a Tower of Babel that's coming soon. He's using it for his purposes. Well, then he says, and I believe there's been a lot of people encouraged by that, so more power to him. But you also, you know, you don't worry about, how many of you yesterday flew over to Israel and tried to get up on the Temple Mount and sacrifice an animal?
I wasn't there.
No. How many of you done that recently? Why? Because all that stuff in the Old Testament has some wonderful truths for us, but it's not written to us. We're not to go take, you know, Easter time. Some of the Christians think, you know, they're really spiritual, so they have Passover Seders. Now, it's great to have a Passover Seder kind of demonstrated, but they always throw in the stuff that isn't in the Bible, the egg, the extra chair for Elijah, you know, all that stuff. That's not in the Bible. That's stuff that was added by apostate, unbelieving Jews who had rejected Jesus Christ. They added that to the Passover later. The Bible Passover was totally different. You know what you do for a Bible Passover? Kill you a lamb. So don't act like this is to anybody watch this who claims to have a Passover Seder every Easter time. You ain't having a Passover Seder. Where did the Bible ever say you're no longer required to kill a lamb at Passover? It doesn't. Yeah, why aren't you putting the blood on the doorpost? Yeah. They did that to commemorate what had happened when God brought them out of Egypt during the Exodus. God never said you no longer have to kill a lamb to keep Passover. What God did say is, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, which means we're no longer having Passover Seders. We have our Passover in Jesus Christ. So you have to make your choice. You're either going to embrace the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, or keep having the Passover biblically, which means you need to kill a lamb. This thing that they've created in between is fake. And you're supposed to, yeah, Rick's really getting technical on me there, but I mean, it's true. It's true. If you're going to keep it biblically, that's what you've got to do. So that's what, when you read the Bible, don't claim a promise that isn't to you. Because then you're going to get mad at God for not keeping His promise when the problem wasn't God, it was you. And I see so many Christians get frustrated and discouraged because God didn't keep their promise. I want to tell you this. The Bible says that if you raise up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. That does not mean that every child raised in the Lord will be saved. That's not what it says. I don't care what you think it means. What's it say? It says that if you raise that child right, he will never forget that. No matter how far into sin he goes, like the prodigal, while he's eating the pig slop, he never could forget his father. Never could forget what he was taught. And he came back, fully repentant. But they all don't. They don't all do that. We've got stories from the scripture where Josiah, you don't think he raised his kids right? What about God? You don't think he raised Adam and Eve right? You say, well, they ended up right with God.